as will the conversation I'm about to have with the author of a whole slew of books. I call it the Bovard Library: Lost Rights, Freedom in Chains, Feeling Your Pain, The Bush Betrayal, and the latest and greatest, the Attention Deficit Democracy, that I just mentioned to Rich Galen, who he thought was both interesting and informative. Ladies and gentlemen, my friend Jim Bovard is on the phone and on the air. Hello, James.
Hey, Brian. Welcome back from vacation. It sounds like you're really enjoying being back.
Well, good. I guess I get an Oscar for that.
Come on. You're like a deer in the headlights with that one. It's a slow pitch.
Hey,
you spent too much time fishing.
I did. Well, no, you can't spend too much time fishing, but you can spend an inordinate amount of time fishing.
Well, there you go.
There is that. By the way, speaking of distractions, it's October. This is Oktoberfest. I bet you're going to be pretty busy on various weekends across the month.
Well, I've been to two of them in the last 2 weeks. So it's always it's a good place to go to watch college kids vomit.
Yeah, true. Although I would venture a guess with the profusion of microbrews, in the especially out in the Maryland hinterlands, you probably come across some pretty good stuff.
Some pretty good stuff, but it hasn't actually been as good as what I found in some of these small breweries itself. And plus, having to stand in line, listen to a bunch of damn pa music, it will never be confused with Beethoven. There's some different strands of German music, and it's interesting that the folks in North Germany have such utter contempt for the pa music. So,
I don't know, but on the other hand, I can't imagine Beethoven at a beer fest.
Well, that's a good point. I hadn't thought of that, but that's one more reason why I have a limited respect for him.
I understand. Well, you've helped me for all of your Christmas present this year. I'm going to get you a pair of lederhosen and send it over. I think that'd look good. You'd look good in that.
Well, yeah, I think about 30 years too old for that, but thanks for the thought.
Maybe they make them with long legs now. I don't know. I didn't get to see about that.
I think I might look better in a burqa.
Okay, fair enough. That's not bad. A lederhosen burqa, that would be kind of, well, enough of that. You'd probably need all of those 850, those 850 calories to get around it. The reason Jim is visiting with us, in case you missed the earlier portion of the show, the other day, USA Today, September 27th, there was a neat piece by the aforementioned Mr. Bovard about the free food lunch food programs going on in schools and the big kerfuffle that has arisen as a result of Mrs. Obama putting her imprimatur on the menus and all the rest, and apparently the kids were in full blown revolt. James, I can't imagine why.
Well, it's unfortunate that so many people have gotten accustomed to being fed by government. It's understandable that Obama's people would try to do something at least theoretically to fix some of the mess, but folks don't realize. Federal school lunch program started in the late 1940s. And it was supposed to have all these wonderful effects, but studies have shown that the students who eat school lunches are 29% more likely to be overweight, and consuming those school lunches is the single strongest predictor of childhood obesity.
Because, why is that? It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, at least if you take it on the surface, that the whole idea was to take care of poor kids that don't get a chance to eat right. So the government, of course, will stick its big nose in and try to solve the problem. But to result in one of the leading indicators of obesity seems to be a little bit beyond the pale.
Well, this is a wonderful example of a reason not to trust the government and of government good intentions gone awry, or reported intentions, because the program for decades was driven as a way to dispose of the evidence of the failure of federal farm programs, because Congress would set the price supports too high, there would be a lot of surpluses. So so what the government did was simply follow a slopping the hogs approach to school kids. They would simply be just dump the surpluses on school kids' dishes. Kids would eat it, and the problem would vanish. But it caused a great deal of obesity. And part of what's amusing now is that at the same time, the Obama folks are trying to cut back on the calories for school lunch. They are vastly expanding the school breakfast program, which is going to work out great for the doctors who specialize in diabetes in the future decades.
Well, not to go off into the weeds on this, but just to confirm or deny, sure. You know, the ancient rumor that the real purpose of getting into this this lunch program, food program by the government was so that they'd be able to. This was essentially the camel's nose in the tent, so that other dictates could be made on public education by way of the federal government because of the blackmail, greenmail, food mail, whatever you want to call it, of the free lunch program. Is that true, or is that just an old wives' tale?
It might be true. I've heard that once or twice. I haven't looked at that. I do know that the program was driven for a long time simply by the Agriculture Department, and that there was very, very little concern about the nutrient quality. I mean, part of the reason I'm jaded on these programs is I went to school in Virginia in a rural southern town in the 1960s, and the school lunches there were just the grayest gruel. That they were almost tasteless. It was just horrible. It was just like, you know, why in God's name would anybody eat that crap? And it was government subsidized. And things might have gotten a little bit better since then, but it's interesting that it doesn't matter how much damage the government has done with these food programs, it still feels entitled to intervene even more and try to dictate more people's diets to them, which they're trying to do with the school breakfast program now.
Well, is that the not to go off into tinfoil hat land, but is this like a pilot program for ultimately sending out menus to private citizens and families far and wide above and beyond what they've done in schools to be able to take a page from Mayor Bloomberg's book and get into that whole business of foie gras and Big Cokes and Monster Burgers?
Well, Mayor Bloomberg has always had an active fantasy life. it's possible that there are some government officials and politicians that would like to do that in the future. I think that the current program is so disorganized that it's not that much of a risk. I mean, it's sort of like FEMA. I mean, folks have been on talk shows where people would call up and say that FEMA was building these concentration camps, and my response is always that, well, FEMA's building them, they'll be easy to escape. And it's basically the same of USDA's trying to dictate diets. But the thing that does have a big impact is you have these, what's happening now is the Obama administration is pushing a program to provide free school breakfasts to all school kids for schools where even though most kids in those schools can afford to pay for their own lunch or breakfast. What they're also doing is they've offered free breakfasts for a long time. Most of the kids did not bother coming to school to have the free breakfast because the kids didn't think it was worth their time. What they're doing now is providing breakfast in the classroom so it can take up to half an hour or 40 minutes of the classroom instruction time at the start of the day and to give a free breakfast to every kid. And it's interesting. I was doing some Google searches to see what they were serving in these free breakfasts, because the Obama administration has been claiming that they've changed the standards. It's a much healthier breakfast now. But again and again, around the country, kids are being given glazed donuts, cinnamon buns, French toast sticks, things like that for breakfast, which I think a lot of families have realized that they don't want to be feeding their kids that kind of crap. And it's a paradox. It's a federal crime for a food manufacturer to sell, to make a food product and sell without nutritional labeling. But the USDA is doing nothing to mandate that schools notify parents of how much sugar the schools are foisting on their kids. And studies have shown that up to 20% of the kids are now eating two breakfasts, one at home and one at school.
Well, as someone wrote on the on your blog, if you can get free glazed donuts, for school, a lot of people might in turn go back to school, something like that.
Yeah, that was a great comment by Tom Blanton. It's nice to have a free donut, but they lock you up for 6 hours afterwards.
Yeah, there is that. But what is has anyone bothered to get around to asking the administration about the oxymoron that on one hand you've got Michelle Obama giving Barry the hairy eyeball if he's munching on a hot dog or a glazed donut or something like that, and she goes trotting off to some elementary school up in Maryland or whatever where they're serving, well, gee whiz, hot dogs and glazed donuts for lunch and breakfast.
Part of the reason I wrote this piece last week was that there are such brazen contradictions here, but it's almost as if it's considered a cheap shot to add two and two together and say, but you're doing this over here, and isn't that a contradiction? I'm amazed the media has not called them on this a lot more.
Well, truth is the new hate speech, Jim. You know, you've got to take that into consideration, I guess. So I don't anticipate my anticipation is irrelevant. Let me ask it from the standpoint of the actual nuts and bolts functionality of things like USDA and school lunch programs. If we have a change of administration in November, how long would it take, if ever, that a new administration would take a look at this thing and try and fix it?
That basically depends on how much hell kids and parents raise. And the thing that taxpayers should also be raising hell, because you're shoveling all this money to pay for free breakfasts for families that don't qualify for food aid, it's going to be a much bigger cost in the future. It's just a question of how much hell is raised. I don't really think it's interesting that the high school kids are protesting these new calorie guidelines, but it's unfortunate that a lot of these kids think that they have a right to be fed by the government.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can understand the football team, and maybe they don't have an alternative, because a lot of times we've had conversations here at WSPD where parents have told that their child went to school with a bag, a sack lunch, like I used to do when I was a kid, and the teachers or whoever was responsible on the premises wouldn't let them have it, you know, because they'd open up the bag and say, oh, you know, you don't have a glazed donut inside, or something like that. But so there's that. But right towards the end, your piece, you talked about how parents and taxpayers and everyone else should get a little PO'd about the fact that the lunches and breakfasts that are being served are more expensive than they originally appeared. When it comes to yelling and screaming, what about the USDA? What about the farm lobby and all the rest? The glazed donuts don't grow on trees or bushes or cornfields or anything like that. So is the farmer getting cut out? Is that old? Is that the originating part being no longer part of the program?
The farmers are doing fine. It's the food service providers are probably, and food service providers and the dairy lobbies, they're probably reaping some of the biggest profits from this. Mm. It's funny, there was all this talk about how the breakfasts have to have higher nutrient standards now. However, the schools are still offering chocolate and strawberry milk. And that's like, there was a lady with the, I believe out in Las Vegas, she's from the Martin Luther King Elementary School, PTA, and she was complaining that the school breakfast there back in May had more grams of sugar than a large Slurpee. And this is like, you know, you don't want to be doing this, kids. I was reading about this, and there was some schools in Tennessee on actually give funnel cakes for breakfast.
All right.
And, like, you know, I mean, it's hard enough to stay awake in school. And then when you have that sugar buzz and then collapse, it's just like, you know, I guess they need to give the kids more Ritalin.
Yeah, just in time for math class in my case, I tell you. You can sit there and snore through that. Well, once again, you know, you always shedding a bright light in a dark corner, and hopefully, especially here in Toledo, where the school lunch and breakfast program has been in the headlines of late, maybe folks will be paying a little bit closer attention to some of the oxymorons and conundrums and contradictions that are going on over there. But,
my God, and again, you sound so optimistic after vacation. I've never heard you that optimistic in a close of one of our interviews.
Yeah. Well, on the other hand, I've also spoken about the upside of buying a lottery ticket too, Jim. You know,
I'm just sorry that the fish weren't biting.
Well, the fish were probably biting as much as the beer bottles were popping. I guess that's about as best we can hope for.
Well, that sounds good. I'm glad the fish were biting.
I was all right with that. Look forward to seeing you soon. See you, Jim.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks a lot. Jim Bovard, Attention Deficit Democracy. You can find that piece, by the way, that Jim wrote, Why Expand the Free Food Programs, at USA Today in their archives. It just came out the other day. I think it was the 27th, 28th of September. And get some disturbing skinny on Jim's research. All right? So there we go.